The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Lord, we worship you this afternoon. We bless your name, our Father. We give all the glory and honor to you. Immortality that dwelleth in the light. We give praise to you, the one who only has immortality, the only true God and eternal life. All worship to you this afternoon. We declare your praise in this place. We declare your glory in this place. We declare your praise in our hearts. We declare your glory in the midst of your people. We say, blessed be your name today. Thank you forever your worship. And forever we'll praise you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Turn on. Give the Lord a big hand. Especially for the worship team. Okay, let's appreciate the worship team and the technical section also. They work together to make the sound what it is. Amen. Thank you very much. The sound is looking like what I expect. Okay. it's taken us some journey to get here. I want to welcome all of us today. You are welcome in Jesus' name. I'm happy to greet someone by your side. It's nice seeing you in this last TVP for the year 2021. It's nice to see you. And forever we'll be together. Amen. That's been a great experience. God has been so merciful to us all, right? Huh? We have experienced His mercies and kindness in this place in the past. In the past, how do I call it now? 11 months. This November, 11 months, and the night TVP. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all our pastors who have labored seriously this year in the word and in prayers, especially in all the TVP meetings. Come and give the Lord a big hand for all of them, please. Thank you for laboring in doctrine. It's not every elder that also labor in doctrine. So you should count them of double honor. Those who rule and also labor in doctrine. There's a general place of leadership which is oversight, which we expect every pastor to take, but also to be entrusted with laboring doctrine is under added trouble, because you have to do it the way you do it. If you don't do it that way, then you will have to, yes, you have not labored, then you have to adjust it. So it may take time for that to really build up, and that's why we always wait, allow people to take time so that you can always do a good job consistently. Amen. Praise God. So So don't be concerned if the pastor is not preaching. That's not business. It's not a business. As long as we're hearing God's word flowing right. And does not make him lesser than any person. No. Today, Pastor Dixon is sitting down. And it's okay. Amen. I think he has enjoyed his liberty. He has dashed in and out of this place to do two other things. Amen. Preaching is not easy. It's a trust. We are hearing you, and you must say what is expected. Yes, it must not stumble too many times. Not in the terms of how in terms of how fluency, it's not fluency. It must be delivered, must be in line. And it must further us in what God is doing. Amen. Praise God. So I want to appreciate all the pastors for all their labor. Can we just give the Lord a big hand for all of them? Amen. Every one of you have done well. It's not easy to, you know, one thing that I don't impress myself. So it's not easy to impress me. Because myself, I'm not impressed by with myself. So then when you are blessed, I say, okay. I don't feel I've said anything. So it's a high demand for anyone you see standing here to talk. It's high demand. It's like when you are called up to come and talk in convention. And that's another grain entirely. You have been talking well before. When you get there, your feet start shaking. Because it's like you're talking to the whole body of Nigeria globally. And everybody's hearing you. You don't know where they have come from. You don't know where they have eaten before. So you can't just jabber anyhow. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. So young people, if you like to preach, no problem. You preach, you'll be tired, okay? Just take your time. I know. Once I sight that God's hands are going well, and I see that you are taking time to grow very well, I want to sit down and I want to hear you preaching. And, you know, I told you I love to hear more than speak. I love to hear. So when you say it like that, okay, this place, I'll go and check it and put the ones. So I will get more detail than you what you have spoken. Amen. Rather than them, what builds me up, what builds you up is what you heard. Not what you say, what you heard. I will raise you. So let's hasten with what we are hearing, okay? And not be overburdened about when will it be my time? Don't mind. Praise the Lord. Last month, we sent Pastor Tyson to Abeokuta. He drove down. He preached. He preached the night. He preached the next day. He drove back. He tried to use energy in the next Monday to go to school. Tuesday to go to school. By Wednesday, the body was scattering. I was already looking at maybe they have given him results in the body. I know that. So when I learned that he disappeared one day and he switched up his phone, I said, okay. He's still within the region of immortality. Amen. You know, I like strong horse. Because I have a lot of body. When I say strong horse, I will put the body. Hallelujah. So I love all of you, only that I have too many trouble, I have too many burdens. So even this old church pastors, they're not enough for me to use. So thank you very much. You have done a good job today. You have spoken the heart of the Father. It's a good job done today. Yes, as always we have been helped, I think today the burden of heaven has really came down strongly, and like I've said, I will just go through and raise one or two things for us to go with. So don't let me look at the time, but I hope that it's not going to be long, but let's just go on. God has made a quest very close to this place. It's our next bus stop, right?
Yes.
It's just beside us here.
Yes.
just close there, beside us here. So let's relax today and enjoy today, amen?
Yes.
And let's receive all that God has for us. Let me start appreciating, okay? Pastor May, you are blessed. Thank you. Pastor Favor. Pastor Lani, yeah? Pastor Shege, Shegelu, fire. Okay, they call him Fire Shegun. Amen. It is those who are here, who hear prayers on the online, that call him that kind of name. You must get the name on the online. Because his prayer is always fire. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Dixon, you're okay. I like you sitting under that one. You're resting. Enjoy yourself, eh? Maybe you'll preach tomorrow. You don't know. You know, every time you're resting like that one, just rest that moment and enjoy the rest. I've not said anything. I'm not saying that. When the rest come, enjoy it very well. Because you may not sleep overnight. You know what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, this is from Abeokuta, the Abeokuta man. I know your people are enjoying you over there. Eh? They're enjoying you over there. And God is helping them. They are growing. They are getting better. Each time I go there, I see that they are getting better. So, well done for the job. And well done for today. You know, there's still one. I promise that we're gonna have one vision prophecy. That will be three of us preaching. So for PJ, we just answer to that time. It will be next year. Well, let's just we're gonna arrange it very well, and it will preach that day. We'll be tired. But to just be three of us, by himself and Reverend K. Amen. Praise God. But we're enjoying today, Abby. You know me, I can hold a thing for 10 years. And it is right. And so if you're hearing this, hey, maybe it's what January, don't think about it. But myself, I'm not even thinking about the timing. I just know that I see that picture, and in due time, it will come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
And, okay, like I didn't even say that, Akure people, myself and Akure, we're already thinking about you one of these days. Amen. I've been waiting on it, and I think our thought is aligning gradually, and let's trust that next year to be next year. Praise God. Just pray for us. Take it up and pray so that the doors will be open for it to be. So amen. Can we have
a record of your Ermenon? If you follow court Ediliaka,
adabramontu ufrofi ek etedia konyinja kindi ajwali peto for febradu ukoni in olive of lontalia. When I want to break a horn, I hold it by the root. I hold it by the root. I hold it by the root. I go to the root, and that is where I deal with first. I want to uproot it, and then I go to the root. Then I go to the root. I will come to Ondo State, and I will go to Akure. I will come to Ondo State. I will visit your state capital. I will visit your state capital, for there are things to be uprooted. There are things to be undone. There are things to be uprooted. There are things to be uprooted. Yeah. There are things to be uprooted. For when those things are uprooted, even in your state capital, it looks very quiet. It looks very peaceable. But there are wickednesses that must be pulled out. There are things that must be undone. And when they are undone, you will feel it in Ondo. You will feel it in Ondo City. You will feel it in Ondo City. For there is an agreement between Ondo land and Akure. There is an agreement. That is why that is called the headquarter, the state capital of this place. There's a reason why it is the state capital. But I will go to the head. I will not spare the head. I will uproot it. I will break the horn. I will break the horn. I will break the horn. And you will see it in effect in Ondo. You will see it in effect in your city. Even in this land. For I have set my eyes upon that place for a while. My eyes have been there for a while. And it appeared like they edged me out. It appeared like they fought me and they conquered. But no, they did not. I am coming back in my energy, in my full strength, And this time, my victory will be known. It will be widely broadcasted. It will be widely known. For I will do it. I will accomplish it. I have only given it a time for you to be ripe. But lo, it will not continue forever. It will not continue for too long. I will visit that land. I will visit your state capital. And I will undo that which has been done by the pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, heaven has its agenda. And so, we're going to just follow the Lord and see how it comes to pass. So, thank you, everyone from Akure, for laboring. Give the Lord a big hand for all from Akure. Thank you for staying strong. And I must commend you for your energy to come to Ondo throughout the year. It deserves to be mentioned. And your unwavering strength, I think it's an energy that is needful to be raised to become what you ought to be in that city. So you are being put to test, and demands have been laid on you, but I think you are responding well enough. Amen. So thank you very much. And the pastor, can we appreciate the pastor of Akure Church, Pastor Lydia Ekelagusha. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I was appreciating pastors, okay? Pastor James, Pastor Fred. Thank you for doing a good job. It's nice to coordinate. We do all kind of. We do not just preach alone. We do all kind of things, and everything has to be done together because they are just one thing. We're preaching on pulpit. We're preaching in school. We're preaching everywhere. So it's the same live project. So it requires somebody who has the energy, who has the art, the level of art commitment. You can't do the job of the house with a half heart. It's not possible. You can't do that. Anytime your eyes is not single, you find that your strength will be failing. That's the way it is. So thank you for all you do. And Mama, we want to appreciate Mama also today. Mama, thank you very much, Mom, for taking on the challenge to preach in all the meetings this year. We put demand on you and you respond. We thank God for it. Mama is not giving an excuse. Mama is, so I know next year I'm too sure that it's going all through. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I was also appreciate Mommy for being there. for helping me, primarily for helping me. She's preaching to me directly. She's overseeing me. She's a direct minister. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So even if he's not preaching, I don't mind. He's preaching to me. And I'm preaching to you, right? So you're hearing your voice indirectly. And that does it. Thank you also for staying strong to help the work and also take the demands of preaching in all the LFP meetings. The Lord strengthen you. And in all the TVP meetings, sorry, LFP, TVP meetings, heaven will strengthen you. In the name of Jesus. I have a commitment. When you are doing 48th anniversary, you must be looking bouncy and fresh and beautiful. No, it's commitment. Amen. And you know, when I see a thing as a project, I can labor into it on how it will come to pass. My job is how will it come to pass? Says that I have no husband. How shall these things be? I like that question from Mary. And I told him, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow thee. And that holy thing shall be called the Son of the Highest. So heaven will bat wisdom for it. And all your daughters also will align with it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. If they like or not, we're going to have beautiful daughters in the house there. Say anything you like. I was like, they are worldly. That's your business. My job is. I was about beginning something on the platform, but now we are just at the pause. Amen. What's that job, sir? What do I call the job? Thou knowest. I just had a dream about what should be the job. So I felt we have been going around the thing. Let's track the job. So we are in, sir. Amen. Don't mind. You know, if you are single, go get married, okay? And stop wondering what are they saying. You are invited. Go on. Just change your estate, eh? But do it properly, eh? That's my fight. Your procedure must be proper. Then you have a glorious welcome. An abundant welcome into the. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Okay, today, so. Have I greeted everybody in the house? Greet yourself, please. Just give somebody for me and greet yourself. You're welcome. Say you are welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know what? I like eternal life because as you are pressing through the secret of eternal life, you open many other secrets to you. So secret is just one. Once your heart is locked in that mystery, other mysteries will be open to you. You won't be caught in one dark area. No. He said, you will have the light of life. He said, that followeth me will not walk in darkness. Any kind of darkness. But shall have the light of life. Let me have this scripture, John 5. Father, I thank you this afternoon for help. We bless you. We thank you for your another reach to us today and help us. For we have prayed and we ask for blessing today. You have been blessing us. We ask that this blessing will dissipate upon us. And everyone, as we live here today, will go under the weight of your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
John chapter 5. They say, they accuse him, but he maketh himself equal with God. And he said, my Father walketh, hitherto I walk. My Father walketh. My Father walketh, hitherto I walk. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. That was their concern. The work was not their concern. If somebody says, my father worked and that do I work, you have been concerned about what work is the father doing? The religious minded people are if he said that, if he said this for me now, at this level, I won't even see what they are saying now. So what is pronounced there is the work. My father worked, I work. So work is repeated there twice. There's no other word in that place that came twice than work. Father worked, either through I work. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, very, very, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. What things soever he doeth, or he worketh, this also worketh the Son likewise. In the same manner. So the real intricacy of the work is not even what they work, it's how they work it. The procedure, in the same man, exact way he cooked the soup, is the same way the Son is cooking it. Exactly. So it means that they can always produce the same result over and over again, because the Son worketh the works of the Father. Amen. And in John 9:44, I work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when I'm at work. So the job of the Father actually is work. The Father is a working entity. He's a worker. The Father is a laborer. Among the divinity, the major job of the Father is work. He's a working entity among them. And you can say it's work. It's labor. Just like where was the moment I read it in John chapter 6. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat. It is for this meat, for that meat, which endureth unto everlasting life. There's a kind of meat that can endure unto everlasting life. So it's clear that it's not just this meat is tough. This meat is strong. And you cannot handle the meat without laboring. Have they given you before Ishamalu? Have they served it before and caught Ishamalu very big, like that very big piece, and put on a plate? You bite it here, you turn it many times, looking for where to bite it. You know what I'm saying? Because the meat there is tough. It's not just meat. It's so the meat the Father uses is a very strong meat. And that's the meat that can arrive at everlasting life. If you don't have that kind of meat, you cannot arrive at everlasting life. So you will take meat. Meat will prepare you for that enduring meat. I'm also saying that the Father's labor, terrain is labor, it's a lot of work. Let's see this, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth or worketh, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So, Pastor Jim was talking about great and marvelous work. The work Greater work is marvelous work. The great work is called great work. Great and marvelous. Great and marvelous are works. Amen. You can say the first work and the last works. So the Father, it is the Father that's actually in charge of that work. The work of the person of Christ, it is the Father that worketh it. Before the Father moved him into the next phase of work. Before Christ got to Jordan, the first work was done. But he needed another 3.5 years for the last work to be done. So it is the Father that worketh it. So you can see that for things so that he doeth, this also doeth the Son. So the Son must have to be the Son, must learn the works. Must learn both the first work and inherit it. And also learn the last work and also inherit it. Am I in the house, please? So Christ has a job of inheriting works. He must inherit the first work. He must also inherit the last work. He must inherit great and marvelous works. I'm just saying that all you have preached today is what. So every time we're going to sing, we're going and what you have said, because you have spoken well. So from the first work to this last work, the first work is a work. The last work also is a work. But there's a connection. There must be a journey between the first work and the last work. So it's not totally separated work. In the midst of the work, works are going on. But they are manifestation of our appearances. I have various places in terms of the personality that is manifested. You read Colossians 2, verse 2. Am I talking to the house today? Like I always say, when this TVP, I won't think maybe you are a false error. I'll just go on. Don't have problem with that. Just hear the one you can hear, understand. The rest of them you will understand later, right? You should be able to go through things the way we should, okay? So we can bring down the messages. Amen. Praise God. So we have three mysteries to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So these are three entities of beings that we are supposed to see. When you see, how do you see them? Understand. And you understand them to a point of full persuasion that these beings are supposed to be fellowship with. And they must be inherited. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is about inheriting personalities. That's a blessing. The one who told Abraham, "I'm thy shield." I am. It's not a son you need. It's not a car you need. It's not a house you need. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So the highest reward are these personalities. And that's what made Christianity so much a blessing. Amen. I went to the house, please. Christianity is not giving you heaven. It's giving you these personalities. They are the one that were. So, and they are works. They are works. Or they, you know what I'm saying? They have the technology of their being. Or how they are framed. Or how they are made. We know they are not created. They are divine beings. They are not created. But in terms of their being, who they are, they are saying we are not just an entity. We are also a frame. Are we in the house, please? It is because we are a frame. That's how we can frame. We can create things. That's how we can create other things. We can create man. We can create lion, lion. It's because we are a being, and we give them life. Because of who we are, then we also have our life. Are we in the house, please? Praise the name of the Lord. That's why it has not been easy for science to produce a human being. If they ever raise one, it won't have a soul. If they ever raise one, they can never create a soul. I know with the AI development, they are moving in AI, in building robots. They are building robots that now I can respond. But you still know it's a robot. And you ever know it's a robot. Now they are trying to grow, they are growing organs. But it can form a, you can't grow the organ and assemble a human being. You can only use them to replace the body of a human being. I'm saying, after you have made a leg, made a hand, made everything, make all the back, then assemble together. Let's see it. Give it life. Breathe into it. So they won't stop, and God will give them, God will supply them strength to explore all the way, so that their pride can, they can reach high in their pride. Are we in the house, please? If it's just on the interest of maintaining health, no problem. But that's not what they're getting at. They want to actually tell you that there's no God and become God. They say there's no God, they didn't say we are God, but what they are showing actually is pointing that they are God. Because they want to turn every eye to look at them up there and occupy where God should take in his temple. Project themselves as God. So there's no atheism anywhere. They all believe in one God. Is that man, would you look up to him and expect all solution from him? He's your God. Yeah. Amen. I went to the house, please. So there's the work of forming and framing man, breathing to his nostrils and making him stand a living soul. It's an investment. It's a work. That's why I said God work for 6 days. It's that framing, that forming. So God is saying, I'm an entity also. Though nobody created me, but I have my own being, and also I can be known. I can be demystified. I went to the house, please. And that's the beauty of the gospel. It's about demystifying. It's not to disregard them. It's to worship them more. Because the way you can really worship them is when you know them. You should not worship what you don't know. It's the Gentiles that worship dull, blind idols. Worship the God they don't know. But this God is saying, I will better be worshipped when you know me. Praise God. I went in the house together, please. So, you know, God, the Father, and Christ are entities to know and also to inherit. To inherit and to be part of. But the interesting thing is this one, that the Father's job, can you see in verse 20? The Father loved the Son and showed him all things that himself doeth. What he's doing is, what is his work? Now, the Father's work, the Father is not building, he's not building technology. He can give people brain to do that, right? And the Father has his own work. His work is the work of divinity. Now, he did a work for 6 days and he rested. So that is not his work. Are we in the house, please? And his real work is the work they do in their realm. The work of their nature. The work of their personality. Amen. That is what they work. And the Father wants to show that work. So the essence of the Son is for him to find who he will show that work to. The work must be shown or must be understood. All things that himself doeth, and will show him greater works than this, that ye may marvel. Verse 21. Let's see the work. Let's see this one. Verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead, as he raises up the dead and quickeneth. I used to think that raising up is the same as quickening. It's not the same thing. As the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So the Son here has learned the work the Father worketh. This work is in an exclusive preserve of deity. Nobody does this their work. Amen. And they don't give the work to any angel. No angel can learn this work. Because the way to learn is to inherit it. And no angel can inherit their life. Amen. So it's think that they have never taught creature. They have never taught creature this work. Am I in the house with you, please? And so this one just kept coming to me. Teach us how to live in eternal life, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest. Teach us how to live and never die, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest. Teach us how to live and never lie, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest. I like this one. Teach us how to live and never die, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest. Teach us how to live eternal life, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest. Teach us how to live and never die, resurrection and the life. You have said you will give us rest.
My talk about the song is that part. Teach us how to live and never die.
Amen. I went together, please. And what they taught the son is how to never die. It's not just how to live. It's how to live and never die. They said there's a way to live and you pass from death to life. Means you pass and never be able to return back. That was what the son was learning in the midst of the miracles. That was what he was learning for 3.5 years. No wonder the miracles turned from just miracles into signs. At some point, he wasn't doing miracles, he was just doing signs and wonders. Interpreting, displaying the teachings in working for miracles. How they will make eyes. How they will make spiritual eyes. How they will make a man to see and to see well. How they will make a man to hear well. How they will make a dumb speak. Finally, after he has done all the body parts, how to give life to the dead. He has shown how to make all the body parts. Now, how do we breathe life to it? How do we bring the body parts together and bring life to it? That's what he did at Lazarus' grave. The job of the days we are in is just simple. It's to come and learn how never to die. That must be a strange judge on the earth, yeah? How to live and never die. Life will be made visible. Immortality will be made visible. Incorruptibility will be made visible. Death will no more be a mystery. Sin will no more be a mystery. Grave will no more be a mystery. Then shall it come to pass the same. Then shall it come to pass the saying. So that's a saying. A saying has been going on. So it's time to wait on the same, because it will come to pass. I said we are going to wait on the same or the teaching that will surely come to pass. Because it is a must that we must be clothed. We must put on. Men on earth, men, mortal men. Corruptible men must put on incorruptible. And mortal men must put on immortality. Are we in the house together, please? Men who are eating ogbono will be eating ogbono, and they'll be learning how never to die. That's one of the, because you know why people are trying to learn some little spiritism. You know how much of abstinence they go through to just catch little spirituality. How much of abstinence? How much of a war? You know, they put around trying to gain little spirituality. But Christ is come to make it visible among human life. That's why it's not then, it's now we've got to learn it. Amen. I went in the house, please. So it's clear that the Son, the Father raised, as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. He said concerning Abraham, he said, the one who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. One who quickeneth, that's one nature about God that is separate. Quickening. And that's why the first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam was became a quickening. God didn't invest on it. He learned. He was made a quickening spirit. He was not born as a quickening spirit. Because quickening spirit is the highest spirit. It's God's spirit that is quickening. Hallelujah. Why I cannot die is that no matter how much death enter it, it will swallow it up. Yes. No matter how much death will enter it, it will swallow it up. It's quickening. Or it's life oozing. So it doesn't just have life. It's life giving. It has extra to give. So how much death, it swallows it. Because there are different kinds of death. Death have degrees. Amen. I went in the house to that place. So I was saying that the Father, the nature of the Father, is the one who is the trainer or is the teacher of life and quickening spirit. Is the trainer, is the teacher, is the one who has that custody to raise the Son, to teach the Son. God will not come and teach the Son. It's the Father that will teach the Son, that will make that curriculum visible to the Son. Hallelujah. Are we right together, please? So you see, the Father raised up the dead and quickening them, even so the Son quickeneth whomsoever he will. 22, for the Father judgeth no man or condemned no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. So the Son is in custody to measure. That judgment is to measurement. He can measure every life. Because he has attained to the highest life. So he has the parameter to measure every life and to determine the space of the habitation. He can put them in place because he knows them. So judgment is not condemnation, it's to measure them. You can see in the law courts, you can see that justice thing, they have scale. It's measurement. It's not possible to comment. When they will condemn you, is after they have measured you and you fall below. You know what I'm saying? Like Nebuchadnezzar, I said, is it the one or his son? The child, I said, you have been measured and you have found wanting. There's a measure you expect to attend to, but when we measure you, we have found wanting. And so because of that, well, your kingdom has been taken from you. Mene, mene, tekef, ofersin. And your kingdom has been given to other person. Why? Then there's a measurement that is needed for your seat. When we measured you, you were lesser than that. Amen. I went in the house, please. And amazingly, within the overnight, it was upturn. Because every seat before, there are powers looking for every seat. But when they come against you, they find your measurement. They can't approach you. But now when you measure less than, your place will be found no more. Amen. I went in the house, get up, please. So there's nothing God the Father did to in for the Son free of charge. No. They never did that for the Son for no. They made him go through process, training. And also that's how they made it inheritable only through that. That it will be that he go through process and he finish it, then they will bat him. They give back to him through process. I went in the house, please. Not just that it was created that way, it was born. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered and being made perfect. Being made, he went through process. That process is learning. He knew what it means to raise the dead, he knew what it means to quicken the dead. So those words are not just careless words, they were well chosen, raising the dead and quickening the dead. And that is what is in the exclusive right of divinity. Amen. Am I with you today? Nobody can learn how to quicken the dead if it's not Christ. That curriculum is not, nobody has capacity to learn it. He must first of all be a Christ before. That's why when they left Jordan, they led into the wilderness to be tested to prove that it's Christ. If it's not Christ, he can't learn it. So there must be an approver that he has overcome the world. What was done in that experience was that a declaration of victory of faith, that this one has overcome the world. Because, are you here with me, please? If it's just that God will raise him and display him, you can raise anything and call it any name. But because there are opposing natures also that we have to deal with, by that reason, no. For example, if you have a business where your business is about is your own business and doesn't have to do with anybody coming to evaluate anything, you can employ anybody and make anybody a cashier. See what I'm saying now? Is that about the fact that if he can't your money and give you your money and you're okay that way, even if you don't have any account, you don't have a problem. It is your business. Are we in the house, please? And nobody will come and ask you how it should be done. But because you will have to raise your business and give account to government, who will come and check the process, you need an accountant who is well trained enough to prepare a financial system that could be accepted by the government. So you will employ workers sometimes, not because you want to have high-grade workers, but because of challenges they will face against competitors. I will have said. So the issue of the hierarchy of sin and sin, death, hell, that has eaten up their nature on the earth here. You can't say you have resurrection or you have life if you can't make up, if sin can consume you. You don't have it. I don't know if you have something. So it was not raised when those things were not existing. It was raised when they have reigned. Amen. Am I talking to us today, please? What did I say? It was raised when they have reigned. Sin has reigned. Death has reigned. That when it was raised. So, God can't just do anything and keep it away. No, those ones will come and say, we are the one that will test you. Even if you have been raised and you have acquired resurrection and the life, then it will mean that when we get into you, so you can see, he tested death. For everyone, how will it taste death? If you taste death and you don't have what it takes to overcome death, death will destroy you. So he was, he by the grace of God tasted death. So if you taste death as a man, if you taste death just as a man, he will die. If you taste death as just Christ from the wilderness, he will die. You can say every attempt to kill him, he was just dodging it. If he die, he will die, he will finish and die. He'll be wasted. So he was waiting for the appointed time when the job will have been done. Oh my God. So when he said, let's go to Jerusalem, his eyes were set on Jerusalem. Peter was saying, don't go. They said, I'm going there. That's the next program. Let's finish these things so that we can transfer to many children. Huh? I want the house, please. For that is the reason I am alive. His eyes was on Jerusalem. Because he knows that there's no prophet that will escape Jerusalem. If they not kill you for Galilee, I can assure you that Jerusalem. Jerusalem has record of bloodshed. All blood of prophets and righteous men is in their hand. So he knew that he can't get there and come back free. He knew. He also knew that he has already learned the program. He knew that he can taste that. It was by grace. So there's a grace. I went in the house, please. That is available to taste death. And will not be destroyed by death. If by that grace tasted death and he through death delivered them who were under the fear of death or under the bondage of death all their life. He became in bringing many sons of the glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He went through that. He went through death for our cause. Because he knew that he has what it takes to deal with death. So I'm only saying that what God wrought in him can't just be any work. It must be approved. The divine son, like that, the standard of God of Nigeria was not, that's not working. I'm saying their own standard of God must approve it. They must say that this one can go through it and come out. So I like the preamble of the month of that month, that mountain. They went for an experiment. Let's go up there and show. I win the house, please. Praise the name of the Lord. So, that's the old document of our training, really speaking. But the concentration of this time is actually on two things the Father must do. Number one, he must raise Christ. Number one. Number two, when you say raise, he must raise up Christ. I like what you said. That I said Christ is foundation. Can you see? That's very true. Other foundation that no man laid, that which is already laid. So truly speaking, meek is not foundation. Christ is foundation. Paul came to lay foundation. Foundation was not laid on the Christ. Paul came. So Christ is foundation. Are we together? Do you believe that? So the church was just prepared before that time to receive the foundation. So other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is what men are supposed to be built upon. Christ is that stone. Isaiah 28. Is the tried stone. Is the precious cornerstone. Then it became the sure foundation. So you can see that it was not just a stone. He went through, before they laid him, I went in the house, please. He has gone through process before he was laid as a sure foundation. Foundation that can be built, that God can rest upon. That foundation is not just a mere stone, it's a sure foundation. Am I in the house with you, please? So it's telling you that Christ was actually raised. That foundation was from inside, was raised, was built, though it was hid. Finally, it was built, it was laid. And for the building to be to rest upon that foundation. Am I with you, please? So it is the Father's job to ensure. When I say building, it's an organic building now. It's not just block with a lay. It's an organism that is being raised. Now, let me start by saying that. I like that place where mommy came from, that Christ is a law. Or Christ is a gene or is a DNA. What did I say? What do I call it? Christ is a DNA. Or Christ is a law. Or Christ is a divine code. It's a code of life. It's the first life that God raised on the earth. That life actually came from heaven. It's an heavenly life that God brought down in the midst of men. Amen. And so that life is a DNA or a code that can be lived. Every life should be lived, right? If there's a life, if there's a fish life, you see the fish life in its entire bios, yes, biotic system. In everything it does, you see his life expressed there, right? Amen. No, everything about him, the shape, the fin, everything is designed for his life. Am I in the house, please? So you can say that his entity as a creation, as a creature, displays his life in his environment. Either internal life or outside life is about his existence. Amen. So Christ is a life. Christ is a spirit. A life. It's a spirit life. And the spirit is a person. It's a spirit person that can dwell in human flesh. Amen. For this is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest. So God manifest in the flesh is Christ. Justified in the spirit, sin of angels are preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, received up into glory. But it was first of all made manifest in the flesh, right? Before it was received up into glory. It first existed as God manifest in the flesh. So the first appearance of God in the flesh is Christ. So Christ is an heavenly being. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you at Equikin were dead in trespasses. Were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked. So before now, what happened to us? We were dead. Men were dead. Where were they dead? They were dead in trespasses and sin. They were not alive. They were not alive in the spirit. They were dead in sin. So what actually killed man is sin. Sin and death. So they were dead. They were in sin. Death and sin and death became the territory of their existence. So they were actually alive. They were alive, but they were alive in sin and death. But they were not alive to God. Am I in the house, please? So, and that place was their natural, it became natural life. So the human, the living soul actually could descend into that realm and live in there. And truly was not asking for a savior. He was enjoying it. That was an habitation for him. It became his life. That was why there was no way for man to have left that territory without quickening. So the only thing that could be done that he could hear the voice. It was the dead can hear the voice. The voice of the Son is so strong and powerful that the voice can pierce the territory of the dead. No voice can reach the place. It's a realm of forgetfulness. When things sink in there, they abandon it. It's dark and impenetrable. No voice reaches it. Abandon the house, please. So it's not just the 6 feet. It's a sphere of life. It's a realm. When anything descends there, it's cut off. Life does not reach you. So, I will in the house this. So, even if an angel is speaking, they won't hear the voice of angels there. It can't penetrate it. It's out dead. That's where. So, there's this voice of the Son that can go in there. So, the time has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son. And those who are dead would what? Will live. So the first thing they have to do is they have to quicken the spirit through the faith that the Son gave. I went in the house, please. That gave the dead in the grave. That voice generates faith. That's why it says we're quickened from the dead, not of your own works. Can you see him say, by grace are you saved through grace? Not of your own works, it is the gift of God. You couldn't have believed by yourself. They helped us to believe through the voice of the Son. That's why for a long time you hear it, you ignore it. You hear it, you ignore it. But one day the voice penetrated your soul. And you couldn't stay anymore. You are not okay anymore. You have been okay before. But suddenly you couldn't be okay anymore. You know your old response. It's because that voice has broken through, right? And until you respond, you are not going to have rest. That breakthrough is for man to respond. Just say, I believe. Can you see that? I went in the house, please. And by that operation, the spirit was raised from the dead. Or was raised or quickened and given the quickening nature. But you see, the soul cannot work like that. So, though he has been quickened from in the spirit, yet he can't live after the quickening order. He can't live that life because the soul is meant to be the worker of whatever the spirit has. The soul does not know what happened to his spirit, so he doesn't know it. He's not aware of it. I'm away the house list. So there's now need for the soul to go through process of learning that battered the quickening nature. The soul also must be quickened. But it can't quicken like that. It has to go through the process through which the Christ nature took to become quickening. Because all the antennas quickening did not just come one day. It went through its process for it. So what happened suddenly to the spirit, the soul now needed to go through this detailed process. So, there's nobody who came with a living soul. You came with a dead soul. When you are born again, your soul was dead. Or, because you are a child of God now, they will say, sleep. You know, Jesus used that language. So, let's go and wake up our friend. He slept. Once you believe, they won't say your soul is dead. They'll say your soul sleepeth. Let's go and wake up our friend. He sleeps. And I say, if he sleepeth, if we wake up now, is it not to sleep? How many times we slept and woke up? Why should we go and wake him up? He needed. Say, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well now. He will wake up. He was teaching them language of the spirit. How did Jesus speak of his death? But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. So once a man's spirit is quickened, they won't reckon to him as the soul is dead. They will say the soul is sleeping. That's why he can say, awake from the sleep. Awake thou that sleepest. Can you see that? Awake. He's telling you, believers, who are only living because their spirit is quickened. They need to awake from the sleep. Because you need to live now. And if you are not awake, you won't live. When you are in your sleep, you'll be in trance, right? Your life really begins when you are awake. Is that not true? When you are awake, you stand on your bed. Now, your memory will come back. I need to brush my mouth. I have an assignment. I need to meet by 8 o'clock. While you are in your sleep, all the meetings you have by 8 o'clock, they are all pending. They are not part of discussion. Because you are in, and that what they die is, you are sleeping. Your memory starts working. Thank God for sleep. Some of us will have died. I'm saying. Because the way your mind is programmed, it's always working. You are passed out. So the law of sleep, that the law of sleep seizes your mind. That's why they try to say, don't put books around you when you are sleeping. So you don't carry over what we were doing before into your sleep. You still sleep anyway, but you won't be able to enter into the realm of proper sleep. There's a place you sleep into and you rest. You break off from everything in this realm. Your labor ceases. It is then your soul really rests. Amen. So these people are in deep sleep. Though they are born again. So there's need to wake them up. To wake them up is to wake them up to life. So the reason for Christ is to give light of his life. There's need now to learn Christ. I went to the house, please. So that soul can begin to live. When a soul is living, or it lives by faith, or by the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, is coming back to the realm of life. It's learning how to live. Because living is not just that you come alive, your processors will start back into processing the intricacies of what this sphere of life entails. You know what I'm saying? And they will say, it's not that you just live, it's living. Because this conversation is now on this sphere of life. That's what happens when a man is becomes spiritually minded. When you read in Romans 8, there's therefore no condemnation, demon in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now, what led to death before was walking after the flesh. Flesh became the life of the dead. But now that he's alive in this realm, he has to now commit himself to walking in this realm and not go back to his sleep. You know what I'm saying? Because you can have dream in your sleep. I went out. Entoro, I'm saying. Because how money comes, it's not the way it comes in the dream. And Nico take my share and into be. Because in this sphere, you have to walk together. I'm saying. But in the dream, you can just wake up and you see money, just money from bag of money in your house. When you wake up and you are trying to connect to that world is a world of the dead. You were sleeping there. It's a lie, it's a fraud. You wake up now and package yourself and go to work. So if your salary is 20,000 a month, you will wait till the end of the month to get your pay to live in this sphere now. So what the law of Christ does is that he has to now teach us, since we are minded to live in that sphere, the law now teaches us on how not to respond to the dream life and how to respond to reality. It defines the present one as your reality. It defines righteousness as your reality. And as you obey that, it cleanses you and sanctify you, or make you right, or justify you. So justify me, makes you right to be able to constantly do it here. Because each time you are walking, you feel like, I had it before now. There's the way you remember. I went to the house, I'm saying, your mind flashes back to the past. But the time is going to come, as you get used to this system, that past life will not be relevant anymore. Amen. So you are being made free from it. Being made free from sin, we became servants to righteousness. means that we are able to engage now in this new way of life. Are we in the house, please? I'm just laying foundation. What? But let's build it up so we can get it out. So I'm trying to say to us that the commandments that raised Christ, that commandment, which is the commandment of faith they're talking about, I think Pastor Lydia talked about that. That commandment of faith has a way of growing. Because inside is that seed life of that commandment of faith. It can go beyond just mere faith. It has other expression of the life of that nature inside it. When it is used, when you live by it, it starts showing other parameters in that nature. When they add to your faith, add to your faith what is that?
Virtue.
It means virtue is in that faith.
Yes,
it's in there. When you use your faith, virtue will burst out. So in the seed of Christ, those things are there. It's just like when you keep on using it and using it, they start showing that. Showing up. Amen. The man for patience will come into it because it is the law within it. You before that will ask for a thing and it is done. You receive it. Thank you, Father. Do it. It come. Thank you, Father. Now, start delaying. That law will teach you how to stay, how to wait. And when you wait, you wait in hope. And it's maybe natural to start with. I went in the house, please. It is true you are asking for now. They say, that's true. You may have to wait for it. I will bring it to you. I will give you. And, but Lord, I need it. I will give you. Wait for it. They start using natural hope for it. Before a time comes, they will move it to spiritual hope. Being able to wait for hope for what you do not see. It is the Father's will that progress of living will be fully fulfill his course. It must fully fulfill his course. Christ must be glorified. Christ must be made known. Christ must be shown completely. And it is the response of obedience, I went in the house please, that make it known. The power generated in there is what can handle the hope ahead. If that strength is not generated, it can't hope for more than that. That's why somebody who's not obeying faith revelation, for example, cannot hope for eternal life.
Yes,
that is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteous nature of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live. The just shall live from faith, by faith. The just is the man who has been justified, whose sin has been forgiven. The man who has learned basics of the spirit to respond to laws. Now, this man shall live by faith. As I like the word living faith. We think living faith is just to live by faith and get this. No, living faith is faith to live in the spirit. Faith to obey God consistently. Faith to accept God's righteousness. That's living faith. Are we together in the house here? So for God to train, this is what Christ learned for first 30 years. Yes, that's why the first thing he learned was wisdom. Wisdom is to choose that path, it's wisdom. Yeah, that's the first thing. And Jesus increased in wisdom. To start with, and the child grew. Wax strong in spirit. Filled with wisdom. Can you see that? So Jesus actually began in the spirit with wisdom. We began with the Holy Ghost. Amen. After we have learned the Holy Ghost for some time, the Holy Ghost now introduces us to wisdom. God Christ actually is wisdom. You know what I'm saying? He's been made unto us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. That's what Christ has made to us. It took time for us to be able to align to this. It took us time. But for him, he began with wisdom straight. And he learned that curriculum of righteousness 30 years. So Christ is a major program. In this program, to finish the rest is not long. But it is Christ that is the issue there. For you to enter into Christ and for Christ to be formed. To master Christ and for Christ to be formed is a work. For Christ to become a seed. For Christ has to become a seed. You know, as he grew, he became a fruit. But it has to become a, you know, a fruit is not mature until you can plant the seed. If you have a seed, a fruit, for maturity, you will eat the fruit, but you can't plant the seed. The seed will not be mature. It is matured fruit that has seed that can transfer to the next generation. So there's a seed of Christ that can be planted. It's not just any seed. The seed must be the seed of fruit of maturity of Christ. I went in the house today. If you harvest Christ before it is fully formed, you can't move it forward. You will lose it. So Christ is not an end on itself. Christ is a dot in the next phase. In their program, they send Christ because he's able to receive the promises. That's why they raise Christ. So if that Christ does not fulfill his course completely, he won't be able to receive the promises. Then the essence of Christ will have been lost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's read something in 1 Corinthians 15. Have I thrown anybody away in the house here? If I throw you away, bounce back. Say I bounce back. Say I bounce back. I've been looking at it for a long time and trying to break into the core of the wisdom for it. And I feel that it's showing up gradually. Amen. Because without it, it's detail, whatever, we can't run it. We just be preaching from one bar, from that. It don't form a whole body of knowledge. And it must form it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 15. Time, don't run, okay? Time, don't run. We must crack into some things today, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. I like verse 34. Paul says, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. The meaning is that stop cooperating with the flesh. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some will say, man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come with? See the verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, oh my God, except it die. The way my spirit is getting light in, I want to get across to you, okay? Amen. It's talking about, it's not talking about being raised now. It's talking about quicken. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So, the seed that must die, that seed, if it will die and can be quickened, the seed must be a grown up seed. Must be a full seed. Carrying the complete gene of that nature. The gene must have been fully formed. So the reason for awakening to righteousness is for that gene to be fully formed. When it is fully formed, that gene will know that Christ is not his life. That he has a higher hope. Can you see? That towards
3 years of Jesus Christ, he was no more or less, he was restless in living the life of the Christ that looked like the living soul. God knows, speaking, Christ, before it is fully formed, is not far from the living soul. I went in the house this. Though his genetic nature has the living soul, the living soul does not, it's not easy for him to cross into Christ easily, or to cross into the genetic nature of the divine family. It's not easy for it. Adam handled that for many years. He gave up on it. He didn't cross. Yes, he fell as a living soul. So it's not easy for man to handle that living soul seed and take it across to Christ seed. But that seed is, amen. That seed is from heaven. But when it is planted, human soul, for example, it will take, it won't just burst as Christ. It will take its natural course. And emerge, amen. No matter what seed you plant, no matter how mature it is, it will just appear as a full mesh straight. It will go through its natural course. Though inside that mess you planted is the nature of to get another mess back. But if you go there for maturity and harvest it, you won't get the mess back. You get it now? So for many of us now, if they come back to us for Christ, they won't get a full grown mess back. You have Christ, but it's not fully formed. But for Jesus, they raise him to the point where they can get back the full grain back. So he knew that it can be sown. So he set a cut of wheat for us, and die in the body of the Lord. So he knew that he must have to fall and die. He knew it. John 12. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, if it's a corn of wheat and it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he has understood the process of how the seed can be quickened. And when it's quickened, it won't come back with the former body. They will give him another body. So the wisdom of immortal, this wisdom of incorruptibility is this. The Father has to teach us, amen, how to become the seed Christ. Which we are getting gradually, or whatever, it's getting very clear. I'm saying, are we in the house, please? Now, as you see that as we're learning Christ, that was where the people show to us immortality. Now, like I was saying, it's not that we can't get there now, but because we came and hope, the hope is to help us to desire to be full Christ. Because if the hope is not there, we will not become full Christ. So it will come to pass, the saints in that chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. It means that our Christ life is only seen as a life that can generate life on the earth alone. We're not seeing the heavenly part of it. The heavenly part of it is incorruptibility. Am I in the hospital? What I say, the heavenly part of it is incorruptibility. That's the beginning of the heavenly part of it. So anybody who does not have the hope of incorruptibility clear to him and believed on can never finish the law of Christ, or cannot become the full Christ. You can never finish it. You'll be on the comfort zone on the earth here, living your life as Christ's life here and enjoying yourself here. Because Christ's life also has his gain. When you master it to a point, you will start gaining out of it. I'm saying, they will see you in this town, a very honest man, integrity man, all of that is part of Christ. you'll be reaping the fruit of it. Amen. They sack you before from your job. Later they'll come and call you and say they will trust you. Come and take the job. It's Christ's life. To start with, it looks difficult, but it has much gain. Let me say, even in this world, in this life, if the world know what is called Christ, they will all be born again. But what are you even looking for in this world? Christ will gain it. I win the house. Amen. But you see, when you move towards the end of Christ, the next thing becomes death. That's one thing every soul doesn't want to do. No one wants to die. So you are moving to a zone where all you have gained, you will lose it. In the end of Christ, the learning is that you will lose all you have gained. In the midst of Christ, you'll be gaining. So you'll be gaining chaos. You'll be attaining that man. God has blessed him. That man. In fact, that man. But when you come, when did that man make progress more? Oh my God. The next thing will be that how he would die. Tell me any of the apostles that did it because the mother would die. Tell me one other. And it's clear, all of them began to write about everlasting life. So all of them, they have discussion with Jesus Christ on how they will die. It's not just that they will die, the what manner of death. Why? You can't cross to incorruptibility without dying. Now dying now is not physically dying. But you must, you actually you have to die. You have to lose everything. Oh my God! Amen.
Father, with Papranion, Telia, Cresti, Araba, Akana, Atosu, Sofavidia, for Rema et Elu Zuzaya, we are showing you the path to attain this life. We are showing you how to attain it. This is how to attain it. It is called wisdom. It is called wisdom, for without this wisdom, a man will not cross and attain incorruptibility. Without this wisdom, a man will not be armed to attain incorruptibility. Without this wisdom, a man will not be armed. A man will not be helped. A man will not find it necessary. For it should be a hope. It is the hope of Christ. This is the hope of Christ that we are painting. We are showing you the hope of Christ. Oh, for Christ is not an end in itself. There is a hope laid before him. There is a hope before Christ. And when he seeks to attain this, it's that he has understood. Even that Christ has understood the wisdom of life that transits into incorruptibility. We are showing you the way. We are unveiling the way. We are showing you the way. We have come to open it. So that many can attain it. For it has looked blurry. It has been blurry. It has been gloomy. It has been blurry. But lo, now we shed light. We bring the dawn upon this path. That many can press in and attain it. It is attainable. And it must be attained. And you should attain it. So we have come to show it that you may attain it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my God, Lord, we thank you for the mercy we are having at this time. Mercy is reaching us. So, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but be a grain. It may shine of wheat or some other grain.
Then God giveth it a body as it pleased him. And to every seed his own body. So it's clear that in the realm of the father's teaching, we're looking at program of the his hidden wisdom, that we have to first of all sanctify us, right? From sanctification, and we have to preserve us, right? Before a man can attain to the next phase of what is called incorruption. You see, the gap between that preservation and incorruptibility is where it is at preservation they sow the seed. That's when they allow the seed to fall. If the seed cannot be kept, I like what they do in the Greek. Before they grow the next son, when they harvest seed, what do? They'll go and keep it and no, they don't sow like that one. They will keep it silent and let it stay for a while. Some of those that have the genetic power to grow will die. Will turn out. The rich seed that has the power will remain. So they don't harvest and plant straight, they keep. That's why God has done the season of life in such a manner that the planting season and new season always have a gap. Now they have harvested corn now. There will be a season where there's no corn. It's a season of keeping the seed for the next planting. That keeping is where preservation is. Now, what I'm talking about is in Jude. We have read that place many times. Let's read it again. So I won't be talking about to. Amen. Am I within the house here? So you can see that Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, so then that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and cause. This call is summoned to be sown. This call is a summon to be sown. It means that this those who go through this are qualified for to be sown. So you can see in his writing there in verse 21 to 20, but be beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Building up yourself is building yourself to be sanctified and preserved. When you are being built, or you are being sanctified, you are being built up. When you are being preserved, you are being built up. I went in the house, please. On your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Then keep yourself. And we have seen that you can't keep yourself except you have never, they have given you things to keep. So there are materials of preservation you have to keep that will keep you. And that is what is spelled, like I said, as the love of God. Which actually is the love of truth. That love of God is the love of truth. When you love truth, truth you love keeps you. I went to the house, please. What does keep you? It keeps you from every, amen. It keeps you from every delusion. And the strong delusion and deceivableness of unrighteousness. There is unrighteousness and there's the deceivableness of righteousness, which is in the evil one, the wicked one. He has a way of deceiving men in unrighteousness. Men don't just do unrighteousness alone. He lure men and deceive them into unrighteousness. And the reason why he would do that is because these men have not entered into the love of the truth. They have, and because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved and not perish. So being saved is not just being saved as Christ, it's being saved from perishing. Because the essence of this truth here is to ensure that you do not perish, right? But have what? Everlasting life. Those who believe should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this truth is meant to secure man from perishing. Perishing is the strength of the enemy to design wickedness to deceive. It can deceive anybody. Amen. Can give you a posture of what is a wrong hope, a lie. And So even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this is a high tech of the realm of the Antichrist. And Antichrist is against Christ's fullness, right? It's against Christ in his glory. The job of Antichrist is to ensure that you do not finish your Christ program, right? So what he can do to those who are going towards the end of Christ is to bring against them, to deceive them, give them wrong or fraud hope that will make them not desire incorruptibility. It gives you better things that looks more reasonable to you to attain or attain. That makes you lose interest in incorruptibility. So you will see, one thing that came to me is that the issue of incorruptibility is not, we can see it as hope, but to pursue it is not for children, it's not for everybody. It's not something that will be put in place for you to, as a demand for you to cross now. It is a demand for those who are getting close to finishing Christ. But for all of us, it must be a hope that we are looking ahead. But the demand for the hope will not be given to you, but they can't show you yet. So I believe that this revelation of the everlasting life is majorly meant for those who have been the message for like 20, 30 years ago. Actually, it's for the fathers of this message. We are the one that is in trouble. Who will be raised as examples for others to follow? Because if I still don't know Christ, I lie. I said that. We have been in that privilege for years on it, so I understood it, and we have been by grace be obeying it. I went in the house this. So as I went on the street, I see everyone just saying to us, just be preached to everybody. It's for you, first of all, guys. People saying is that the one who has the demand for now to press into it. Why is it like that one? It's looking as if we are getting to a place of rest. You cannot understand why, oh my God, why people who are in this faith, after they have gone through the faith for like 30, 40 years, those who have done well there, in the faith for like 30, 40 years, you get a point in your life that it's as if two things are there. And that you go back and start glorying in the flesh. Or you have an answer of a demand to die. Or count all things as loss. Count it as dung. What you have gained must come dung. When you get into Australia, how much of you like when something is sown? Have you ever seen when they cut yam and they sow yam before? When you go in there and look at it after a month, others there look at it's rot. Oh, it's badge. But there's a seed of life inside of yam. What to become a whole yam is inside it. But it's rot outside. So how they do is that they want to make sure the life to be rot again. A beautiful life must become rot again. Not by a human decision, but by the arrangement. And you must not deny that rot. If you like to shine out through, I want to. So let's go back. I'm hitting that place. Let's go back. Come on back. The message sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. Everlasting life is sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. So the simple thing we're saying is that Christ is given to us to become a seed that can be sown. The Father's desire is that it can become a seed that can be sown. What did I say, please? Say it again, say it again, say it again, say it again, say it again. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Everywhere I open, everywhere, it's just little everywhere. Let's just see some of it. I opened 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back there again and see what other things we move from the place. Now, I say, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Now this actually has been seen as dead, dying. But actually I see it as we shall not all be in a sleeping position. But we shall all be changed. At the last trump, because the program of the last trump is meant to bring people out of sleeping into realm of living, into realm not only of living, of remaining or abiding before they can become a full seed Christ. So the trump of God, now before the trump of God came, other trumps have come. And they have caused people to come alive from the dead, right? Or to wake them up, to awake from sleep, to awake to righteousness. Like the gospel that God gave to Paul, for example, is to awake them from the sleep, to awake to righteousness, right? For them to receive the light of Christ. And Christ shall give the light. This place is not talking about those who are dead bodily. It's about state in the spirit. Amen. Or state of souls. That souls who sleep should arise from the dead. And they should respond to the light of Christ. Okay? But when these souls have arisen and awakened from the dead, there's need for them not only to live, but to live and abide. To live until they remain. The reason for the Father's training is for you to live, not only live, but remain. Let's see others. Now let me finish this place. Let me finish this place. So you can see here, number one. Are you here with me, please? And the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, not with those who are. From those who are asleep, all will not be asleep, but in the moment we shall all be changed. So there's a program to change everyone. Are we in the house, please? Who are in the Christ curriculum at the end of the day? There's a program to change them, but when they change, they don't have the same body. Because the seed is not the same seed. The seed is not of the same nature, right? But the essence of that is that they want a seed that can be planted, that can be sown. That is the original reason for it. The seed must be able to be sown. It's not every seed harvested from that place that can be sown. I went in the house, please. Let's spread this more out. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hallelujah. Let me see Thessalonians. Is that the place I should open? So let me open to 1 John first. 1 John. Before I go there. 1 John. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me read from, are you with me here? Let me read from verse 18. Little children, it is the last time as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Actually speaking, that was the prelude to the real Antichrist, because in the last time, it won't be many Antichrists, it will be the Antichrist. So they had a prelude here of what that time will look like. Amen. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have done what? Now what is that us there? The us there are Christ. They would have continued in Christ. But they step out of Christ's program. They didn't step out of church. Amen. But they step out of Christ's program because they were not, if they were originally utterly a force, they would have continued with us. Because they said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. So those who are ordained, we continue. Am I in the house, please? Those seeds that were ordained to be planted, we go through due process. They won't be harvested before time. If they harvest before time, they are not destined to become the seed that will generate the next generation. Or the seed that will be sown. So, ordination of life is that seed will go through. Amen. So, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that there is no lies of the truth. So this truth, actually speaking, is clear, is true of the Father. No lie is of the truth. This is the truth that is beyond lie. Who is a liar? See, who is a liar? He that denied that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus bore the full Christ seed. It's not the one who said that Jesus is the name Christ. No. That is the seed. Is the seed, is the full seed. Is the full blown seed. That Jesus is the full blown seed. Right? Yes. Amen. Amen. So he's a liar. He denied that Jesus is the full blown Christ. He is Antichrist. Because Antichrist does not want the full blown Christ. So we deny the full-blown Christ. Are we in the house, please? So his program is how to ensure that the full-blown Christ does not emerge. So he will deny it in his preaching. He will deny it in his speaking. He will deny it through his teaching. He won't teach that a man can have the full-blown seed. Are we in the house, please? He is the Antichrist. Because the full-blown seed is what's going to destroy his work. Am I with you? Whosoever denied the Son, see, that Son there is Christ. The same as not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. Remember that what they heard from the beginning is the commandment of Christ. That which ye have heard is called the old commandment. The old commandment is Christ that they heard from the beginning. From Jesus to his appearance to the apostles is Christ's revelation, right? Am I in the house with you, please? Oh my God. I'm saying things that I feel I want you to click with seriously. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from where? What is that from the beginning? Is Christ. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain, but shall abide in you and remain in you, ye also shall continue in Christ and the Father. Because it is in Christ and the Father's teaching that you can remain. It is the Father that teaches you how to remain, right? John 15, quickly. Amen. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Can you see? So when you abide, you are going to bring forth much fruit, abundant fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. And what? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Are you there with me? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. As even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. What is that love? Love of the truth of the Father. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might, what? I can't hear you, please. My joy might remain in you. What's the next phrase? And that your joy might be full. So, the first of all, the joy must remain. Christ is joy, it must remain. It must, you must abide and bring forth much fruit, then you must remain. It must remain. It means that. That's what Paul was talking about in Hebrews. He said, after you have done the will of God, you have the need of patience that you may inherit the promise. The promise that you might be qualified as a seed that can sow. You have done the will of God. That's Christ. Are we right? Then you need patience. They call it the patience of Jesus. It's the patience of remaining. Now, when I say remaining means that, as it were, there seems to be no more things to press into, as it were. But you see that while you are making progress in the spirit, there's a tendency not to want to continue. I want to continue the system that you will break laws. They call it to transgress the law. What Antichrist does is to teach you how to transgress law of Christ. How to break that law. And that transgression of the law is called sin. That sin is not sin of unrighteousness. It's sin of transgression. You know, there are all kinds of sins you've seen. Otherwise, it's not of faith is sin. Every unrighteousness is sin. Right? And sin also is the transgression of the law. Now, for those who are in Christ school or Christ training, their case is no more unrighteous things they are doing. Are we in the house, please? What they can do is that the devil can trigger them on how to break the laws so that they can live their life. Because they already have the law. Before you move into Christ much, you don't have the law. Before you receive the law. And the essence of the law is to make you free, right? So, let me give you an example. Are you here tonight? Somebody was not lying before. Who has left lying? Honest man before. And he has lived that life for a long time. As a Christian, he has learned it through following Christ. All of a sudden, just turn and become a swindler. It's not lying, the line you are lying, but it's an high tech, it's a grown up man who has a big business. When he was a messenger, he was not sinning, he was not stealing. But now he has attained to age and he has brought in a stronger law of corruption. So it means that something overcame him. Something he seemed to have overcome before has reacted back to overcome him. So it's not just flesh that because when you are dealing with nature or with sin, sin has various grades. Sin exists as what you do wrong. It exists as a loss within you. I wouldn't have said. Sin also exists as evil in terms of wickedness of high thoughts, which does not come to you when you are young. Let me give an example. Someone like Balaam. How did Balaam work with God to become a man that can see God without any will? There are laws he has kept. I can't hear you, please. He has kept laws to see God without anything, with the eyes open. Even Moses cannot see like that. So he has kept laws. This same man was webbed in wages of sin, unrighteousness. The king called him and said, go and call these people. He said, how will I call them? God has blessed them. You would think he was saying it affirmatively because he was sure. How will I call the people that have been blessed? He went on the mountain to go and see Israel. He said, I saw them as a lion couch. He said, I saw the child of the king in their midst. These are not mere people. You think he has rested. As he went away and began to see the reward, Balak kept on jacking up the reward. So the thing went beyond negotiation. Now, what Christ went through, let me tell you, and the temptation is not just mere thing that he. For 40 days, he was with Satan, showing him glories. He was not tended by sin. It was devil showing him possibilities. And they allowed him to show him. God was not defending him. Because if he were his son, he must know it. They can't be blocking sons from them. Sons must overcome them. So there's nothing. Jesus did not see that 40 days. He saw all I call this city in the U.S. Las Vegas. That man, he saw Las Vegas. For 40 days, he was showing glories of this world. When he had glories, anything, political glory of this world, academic glory of this world, military glory of this world, sexual glory of this world. To make a choice of the life he wants to live. Are you still going to live all of these things? Or when you get to the height of this earth, you will see what controls the earth. Power, money, sex. So if you think at this point, money does not... Oh, you have not seen money, bro. You have not seen money. I said you have not seen money. You have not seen money. If you have seen money, you don't know. You have not seen what money can do. So it's not level of 5,000, 10,000. It's glories of this world. Money has height in this world. Are you in the house with me, please? Because it must be proved that this seed is the Christ seed. So in the final proof that we're supposed to do everything, then we make his choice. Do you want to go ahead in the program or you want... So for Balaam, you know, at that point, it's not just a matter of lust. Now we're talking about fame. It's not just lust for... No, it's fame. What does this can give you? The platform to give you on the earth. Because every human being, there's something about you, about self-actualization. There's something about you. There's something inside you about self-actualization. You can lay down everything, but you won't lay down self-actualization. When you're a local champion somewhere there, you see, they bless you. Move you ahead. They also move you to a place where you are going to see what you have not seen before. That will try every fiber that makes you up. Will try every building in you. If it's Christ's seed, they won't protect it. They will expose it. When it is a time of manifestation. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. To destroy is to confront that work and to make it as how, to declare how empty and vain that life is. To make nonsense of the human sense. So, So what I do is that the seed, after it has gone through process of abiding, they will have to make it to remain. To remain means that can we keep on exposing him to all the spirits, and he will remain. He must remain. He must be unchangeable. Unchangeable. Because it's God's nature that he remaineth. Thou in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the works of the earth, the works are the earth is the work of your hands. They shall all perish. But thou remaineth. And they shall all fade away. For thy word, thy life is, thy yes shall not fail. So what they want to test is how yes will not fail. Fail means that how other nations will not be able to have the power to break into it. And with that, it's still not, they're still not going to give it more. They won't still give it incorruptibility until he has finished his abiding and remaining. I went in the house together, please. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can see the defense of the gospel in actually the essence of John is how to make them to remain. How to make, you can see the way he describe the commandments of Christ. He calls it the old commandment in chapter 2 of 1 John. Let's go there quickly, please. Oh my God. Oh my God. But this is just, it's erupting through my spirit and my soul. I now know that incorruption is real. When I said, wow, this is real, but this document is terrible. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment, which ye heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard, which ye have heard from the beginning. He's talking about the commandments of Christ. I write no new commandment to you. It's actually the old commandment, but now he's changing the temple of the old commandment. Because there's need for the temple to be changed if they will learn how to remain. If you use the old commandment alone, it doesn't have the power to make you remain. They have to, amen. They have to write a new commandment to you. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Can you see? He said, I do not write a new, he said, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. I just an old commandment. But again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him. And because you are finishing the old commandment, it's actually becoming true in you. But it is the old commandment that will open you really to the new commandment. It's not really a new commandment, it's the old commandment. It's just that the Father wants to teach you how to remain. So what they use for with the old commandments, they take it and train you with it to know how to remain or keep. And the meaning that when they want to make you remain, they were exposed to spirits. While you were coming before, there were things we were dealing with at various levels. You get to a level now, they keep on opening to spirits. Opening to spirits. At that level, they want to teach you how to remain. How your fruit will abide. How your fruit will not go down. Because when you meet opposition sometimes, you give excuses why you're not going to bring forth your full fruit, right? Amen. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The true light is the light of the Father that purify or sanctify and preserve. And the essence of that is to make the seed remain it. But they want to harvest the seed. They want to plant. Are you in the house with him, please? So go in the Bible, note that to verse 20. First John, I was reading 20. Okay. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. So it is what you have heard from the beginning that should remain in you. That's what is called the new commandment. Ye also shall what? Continue in the Son and in the Father. So once they teach, they use the old commandment to teach you how to remain, you'll be able to continue in the Son. Are we right? And continue in the Father. The essence of the Father is that it will be pruning you. That's it. Pruning means that it will be checking your excesses. And to check it actually is when you say you want to purge you, it uses spirits to purge you. It uses opposition to purge you. I'm saying, said the Lord, one is purging me. He won't just say, how will he come to purge you? What will he use to purge you? They are hidden materials in which to purge you. Why is doing that purging? It's so that you will abide and bring forth much fruit. That if we sow this fruit, we sow it, it will bring forth complete fruit. It's the full nature we blow out. Amen. That's the Father's training. It's also called the scorching of the Father. Whom the Son, who is the Son that the Father will receive? Without being scorched and chastised. For whom the Lord loveth, he is chastening. This Lord is the Father. He's chastening and scourged every son he received. So why is Jesus will have to go through scourging? Can you say scourging? Before he was scourged on that night, they have been scourging him. They raced against him authorities and powers. They were not sending demons against him anymore. I went in the house, please. For many years he was fighting spirits, demons. But 3.5 years they raced on authorities. They grow for a disease. They grew for a disease. These are two extremes. If you want to be pious, this one I go. You want to be more liberal, this one there. So you always have enemy. They raised for against him the house of the priest. In his days it was two high priests. Caiaphas and Annas. In his days it was Roman authority. I went to the hospice. They raised all manner of beings against him. Status is to ensure that he's scourged every day. Scourged. When he should have shine, this guy will never allow him to shine. And he must not react against them. I'm saying, because the Father's training. To see how he will handle them, he must remain. What they have done for him 3 years, they now summarize it in 3 days. In his trials and burial. It's because they are checking the seed they will sow. If he doesn't go through all of that, if they sow him, he will die. Or he will take another body that's not their body. So every seed must have a kind of body. But it's the body they expect him to come out with. It's body of incorruption. Body of immortality. Am I in the house with you, please? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today. I'm hooked down. Okay, so can you see the next thing, verse 25? Okay. Shall remain in you. He shall also continue in the Father, in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has. So that is where the promise can become real. This is the promise that he has promised us. Even what? Eternal life. So that promise will be elusive somewhere there if this process is not done. It's in remaining that the you can actualize to actually go ahead to receive that promise. Thessalonia. Let's go there quickly. You know, Paul, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So there's a class of those who die in Christ. There's a class of those who are alive. Alive there is not that they are not dead, as it were, physically. That they are alive in Christ. They are alive in Christ. So they are living by the law of Christ. And they are remaining. Because they are the one really that incorruption is meant for. As incorruption that has a grade. In the grade of God's incorruption, it is those who are alive and remain. I'm only saying that scripture, as much as it looks like I say, it's talking about the spiritual dead. It's not, it's there, it's showing us a pattern that connects to what we have been reading. To tell you that, because Paul actually responded to saints who are dying and sorrowful. But in trying to answer their issues, he brought the wisdom of God for actually inheriting incorruptibility. Because in God's mind, he doesn't see believers who are dying. He only sees them sleeping, right? And when they sleep, they will wake up, actually speaking, in resurrection, in their order. But the real order are the order of those who are alive and remain. That's the explicit order. But it's also so open for those who are dead in Christ. Are we in the house, please? All of them will experience the body change in the form, but not the body change in the glory of Christ. Of every seed have its own realm of glory. So the original reason for the program actually is that men should inherit incorruption. Men must be sown to become seed that will inherit incorruption. Amen. I went in the house, please. So when we have time again, I'll be teaching on that sowing. It just came to me that the body you sow is not the same one you receive. Oh, wonder, 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 wonder. It is sown in corruption. It is reaped in incorruption. So if it's not sown, it can't be reaped. The practice of that life is not in heaven. It's in earth. It's in incorruptible things. It's incorruptible things. The obedience process is incorruptible things. But the nature of incorruption is being harvested because it's obeying the law of incorruption. No wonder Jesus was baking bread. They were just eating bread. You will look as if it's a natural thing he's going through. But the law was plain that he was doing. A new race of men is about to be seen on the earth here. This thing, you will understand it. I said you will understand it. Because it is a must that corruption must put on in corruption. So the understanding will be done on you. This will make sense. And the former sense will be nonsense. Say, the former sense will be nonsense. A new sense, a new understanding will break forth on you. I'm telling you, reason why you are alive on earth. And the race to run in life. When I see this, I say, Father, we are in trouble. I say, we. I know what I'm talking about. I know those I'm talking about. But actually, it's not trouble. Actually, it's we are in glory. But the demands is heavy. And I remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Let me know him. He said, I can't all things done. See Paul. See what Paul. Yet that letter, I can't all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. We think it's mental knowledge. It's not mental knowledge, it's experience. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. And then when I win Christ, it's win for Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that if I am going through it, if by any means I might attain unto. What Paul was talking about here, we're learning just that it's not, it's just, it's a seed race, seed sown. Seed race, seed sown. If by any means I might attain, you don't attain there and say they capture you and sow you. They race you, keep you, take you, sow you. Race you, keep you. Take you, sow you. So when it says, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will keep you. What's the meaning? They are about to sow you. And indeed the Lord will keep you. He will bless you and keep you. Is that? He will bless you and keep you. The Lord will bless you and will keep you. He will bless you and he will keep you. He will make his face shine towards you. Can I see? When it's shining, he will give you understanding of what is going on. And be gracious unto you. Rise on your feet this morning, this evening, and bless the Lord and appreciate the Lord for his mercies. Kabalata hadabali. Roshka porta libra handabamia. Roshka pali andabali rabalashke.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.